Here is Alexis Marie Thompson.
Life's a puzzle, it's not a game. We'll get it in pieces to help pass the days, and we must complete it. We can't put it away or buy a new one. And you can't change the elements or how they twist and twine. Don't let the seasons trouble.
Alexis Marie Thompson. What a nice song. Tell me about that song.
I wrote that song last September. I was in my backyard in East Nashville. I was living there at the time, and it had been a little over a year since I went through a divorce, and I was just having a hard time dating, basically. And I figured, you know, my ex, he was probably having a hard time too, and it was an amicable divorce, you know. And I just kind of wrote that song, started out for him, inspired by him, and then also I fairly recently became an aunt, so I I have nephews and a niece, and I sort of wanted to write something for them too. So it's this weird combination of a song for my ex-husband and my nephews.
It's a great song. Yeah. I can't imagine dating as an adult or as a previously married adult.
Yeah.
I think about it every now and then. Not that I plan on doing it.
Right.
Since I'm married, but it's something, you know, to, I think when you're younger, you kind of go in without, this whole expression, ignorance is bliss, there's more truth to that than anything. So there's a lot you don't think about. And as you get older, you, especially with relationships, you kind of know lots of details about things. And it's just an interesting, you have me thinking about that now. I'd like to learn more about you. I think, were you originally from Punxsutawney? Is that where you grew up?
So, yeah. I went to school, like high school in Punxsutawney, but I grew up out about 20 minutes from the town of Punxsutawney in the country. The actual little area I grew up in is called Lightning Rod Hollow. It's just farmland.
We have listeners. Our Indiana station covers that, in Indiana, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and Clarion, too. I'm close to Clarion. Yeah.
And our Grove City station probably covers them, too. His station has a wide range. So you grew up there. You went to high school in Punxsutawney.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know, are you in Nashville still?
No, I moved to Pittsburgh in January.
Okay.
Yeah. So
so you were in Nashville for a while.
For about 16 months, yeah.
Okay. What was that like?
It was interesting. I had lived in a suburb of Nashville for about 7 years before I moved to Canada for 6 years and moved back to Nashville. And it's changed a lot since when I first moved there.
I'll bet.
It's just a crazy city. I don't know how to describe it.
Well, I first of all, I suspect you just meet so many people making music.
Yeah.
And it's got to be, you talk about relationships. There's got to be, you know, just dozens and dozens and dozens of people who your own musical style probably resonates with, right? And often yeah. you're in a city where you might just find half a dozen or so, but in Nashville, in terms of acoustic music or quote-unquote Americana, you're going to find a lot there.
Yeah, it's a lot of that. A lot of people who are also, like, dreamers, you know, like, following the dream. So that was really great to meet people who are on that same page. And actually, when I lived there before, I did meet a musical partner that we still make music together. It's been, like,
great.
10 or 11 years. And she, Nashville's her, like, you know, her home city, really. It's perfect for her. And we were just talking, actually. I went down to visit her, and I was telling her how much I love Pittsburgh. And she was saying, oh, Pittsburgh's like your Pittsburgh is your Nashville, like basically for me. So,
what do you like about Pittsburgh?
It feels like home. I also like really like the bridges and the steps, but it's just a beautiful city.
Yeah, it's a comfortable place to be, mm-hmm. I think, and also a very authentic mm-hmm. city.
Yeah.
More or less. I'm biased because I've lived here my whole life. But you mentioned Canada. I'm mm-hmm. curious, where did you live?
Nova Scotia and Manitoba.
Wow.
Yes.
that had to be really, I can't imagine living in Nova Scotia.
Yeah. yeah.
Probably a lot of great music there in yes. both places.
Nova Scotia is where I really dove into folk music. So
I was curious yeah. about that. Because there's a culture of folk music in Nova Scotia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you also play banjo and uke, I know.
Yes.
Did you pick up fiddle at all?
Oh, I pick up a fiddle every now and then, but I'm not good at it.
Dan Getkin is out there, and I think there he is. Bye-bye. That's Dan's son, who's a fine musician in his own right. He plays in a band called Dan Getkin and the 12-6 band. He was here
cool.
Recently watching you. But now his son is probably...
A little tired.
Yes, a little tired. If you're just... joining us, it's a real pleasure. I want to get to know her more, but if I'm not careful, we'll only have one song. Alexis Marie Thompson is her name. We'll tell you more about how you can hear her this Tuesday night after the next song, and we'll also explore recordings that she has available. What would you like to play next?
I'm going to play a song called Love is a Lone Coyote.
In the arms of a woven wool blanket, kissing on steam from sage and chamomile, and in between the lines of Tolstoy I got lonely, so I headed for the Allegheny Hills. I wonder if I'll meet tame you somewhere out in Pennsylvania, along the lake shore, running or working in the corn. Love is a long coyote, she's not looking for somebody, she just wakes up next to you by accident one. land like smoke from chimneys. And I smell turnips and potatoes from their plates. But every kettle whistled a sweet romantic story. And the Susquehanna called my name. I wonder if I'll meet Antonia somewhere out in Pennsylvania, along the lake shore, running or working in the corn. Love is a long coyote. She's not looking for somebody. She just wakes up next to you by accident one morning.
Gosh, that is a great song. Do you typically write lyrics first?
I write all the time, like hours and hours a day, and then I usually go back through that writing, circle lines that I really liked or ideas that I really like, and they kind of like start a song, and then I'll pick up the guitar and kind of piece things together.
Yeah. That song is just so well crafted, and some of the rhymes are just delicious.
Thank you.
The thread throughout it. So you'll keep journals more or less to mm-hmm. keep track of your thoughts, mm-hmm. and then things will bubble up to be promoted, I guess, to be shared with other people.
Right.
Acoustically, I guess, manually, pencil, or do you?
Oh, yeah, it's totally. I've got like little notebooks and pens that I carry around. I'm not a very technical person, so.
Yeah, it's hard to do that kind of journaling, and I've tried to do it electronically.
Yeah.
I always come back to the little shirt pocket notebook or a little spiral notebook to keep track of it. Do you have a lot of notebooks where you've used like the first two pages and then the rest?
I fill them up. I've got like, I mean, I had to go through one stack of them a little while ago, probably like 5 or 10 notebooks, and I digitized the good ones, and I ended up just like recycling the notebooks.
That's
I don't want that laying around. Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's what do you do with all that stuff.
Yeah, you don't need it.
So you're going to be playing at a venue called The Speakeasy. It's above NOLA in Market Square.
Yeah, they're doing a singer-songwriter series there on Tuesdays. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And so you'll be there this coming Tuesday.
Yes.
Which is the 10th.
Yeah.
And do you know the time that you play?
I'll be playing at 6:15.
Excellent.
And I believe Heather Croft is after me. Croft.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's probably like 7:15 because my set's an hour. So
you two will be great.
Perfect.
To hear together back to back. And what a nice time to start. So if you're leaving work at that hour, you can just hear that. That's my kind of show. Starts at 6:15.
Mine too.
get home by 9 o'clock or so. That's on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I know you have some tracks at Bandcamp. Mm-hmm. Are there albums folks can get a hold of, or how can people support you?
Like physical albums?
Well, physical or downloadable, purchasable things.
Everything's on Bandcamp at the moment. And then I do have physical CDs. So I've got my EP, which I had professionally produced. And then I also have an album that I did called What Do You Mean It's Love? And I recorded that kind of like DIY in my bedroom using like green bean cans as percussion and stuff like that. And that's on Bandcamp as well, but I have copies of that.
Do you like the way it sounds?
I love the way it sounds. Yeah. I'm doing more of that stuff now, so.
Well, especially if you're authentically acoustic, which you are. Ricky was telling me that you had apologized for not having a pickup.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, Larry will be really happy about that. Not that there's anything wrong with a pickup, but it's great to hear the tones as instruments were designed. So did you come by folk music when you went to Nova Scotia? Or
pretty much. I grew up listening to country music, and I loved, like, I still love the sounds of country music. And besides like Simon and Garfunkel, I don't think I really listened to anything that was remotely folk music until I moved up to Nova Scotia. It's a long story, but I fell into a folklore society.
Huh.
I was on the board there and I just like loved it and learned all this folk music. They encouraged me to learn more like Appalachian music and
that's great. Cape Breton.
Mm-hmm.
Were you close to Cape Breton?
Yeah.
I kept trying to think. It finally popped into my head because there's just such a rich vein of music in that area.
Mm.
So, if you're excuse my throat here, if you're just joining us, this is Alexis Marie Thompson. Great to have you here. Because she's in Pittsburgh, I'm sure I hope she'll have other gigs and other opportunities for you to hear her. But Tuesday night is the next one, this coming Tuesday, December 10th, 6:15, just above NOLA and Market Square. I need to tell you, you're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings, on a great network of community radio stations and internet streaming services like TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, and slbradio.org on your audio device of choice. And not only because I'm going to grab something to soothe my throat, but we need to hear some more music. What do you want to do next?
I'm going to do a song called What If I Don't Let Go. I wrote this in August this year, right at the time when the Black Jewel miners were stopping trains because they were not being paid. Because the coal company went bankrupt. My grandpa was a coal miner, so I have pretty close ties to that realm. And it was also the same time that there was a huge ICE raid in Mississippi. And both of those things just really hurt. So I wrote this song. The thing I really love about folk music is that it touches on humanity, and that's everybody. And no matter what your differences are, I think people can connect on music, and so it's kind of where this song is going.
Once in the ever-loving quiet, we flew together like a dove. We woke up one morning to gunshots a-swarming, and I could not love you enough. The best things in life were bound to scare. Courage is a blessing for most. I could stand on some rails, stop a train. but I tremble when you hold me close. 'Cause what if I don't let go? Then you and the whole world around us would know. Oh, isn't this just like stepping into a boat? What if I don't let go? While cowards are bound to their borders and heroines are burned at the stake, we sing like angels for the spirit of our children, but just to dance with you.
That's a beautiful, that's really a beautiful song. You've got a lot going through my mind. I'm not often at a loss for words. I'm thinking a song like that one, and there's some others, threads of this, but in particular that song, it's almost as if you're singing the news or singing current events, mm-hmm. And putting them in that case in context with other things. But songs like that can endure and are really important. Is it important to you to create songs that help people better understand the plight of others or contemporary times? I may be reading too much into that song.
You know, you're not at all. To be completely honest, I kind of gave up on music for a while because it just seemed too much of like an ego, like all for like success, and that's not what it's about for me. And I really started to enjoy playing again when I started to write songs that I'm basically like just want to bring people together. It's like I realized that when I start singing in a room, people shut up and listen to me. And so I'm going to say things that I think will help if they can. I've been spending the summer, I went out like busking, and it like literally was not about making money. It was about getting people to hear these songs. So
I'll bet people did stop you have a voice that is not only beautiful, but strikingly so, and also is the kind of voice that, in the way it carries, is going to make people sort of just stop in their tracks and look over, and whether what you are singing is pleasant or unpleasant or consistent with a person's politics or not, or I think people are going to stop and listen.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing you mentioned is I suspect you're as excited by the fact if you're in a room that people are stopping and listening and all doing the same thing, not necessarily that you're the center of attention, but just the fact that they've stopped.
They're together.
And are interacting with one another. I think it's important to you know, sing the times that you're in and to reflect them, not only for education, but just to document what's going on. Do you get a lot of reactions from audiences when you perform in terms of wanting to talk about the issues like the ICE issue now or even the coal mining issue? Because some people, those issues have to resonate with people who are also suffering. So your songs could be providing comfort to a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, those songs, not really. My dad and I have pretty much opposite views on politics and stuff. But I have a song that I wrote about a funeral of a coal miner, and he said, doesn't matter which side you're on, that song is a good song.
Oh, that's good.
And and then I do have another song too that I wrote about some teammates I had in high school who passed away from heroin overdoses when they were young and they were mothers. And when I play that song, that's the one that I have people come up and say, like, thank you for writing that, because it, you know, hits home.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of courage not to take away from folks who might write love songs or songs that are a little more conforming to what folks are expecting, so to speak. Songs like this take a lot of courage to write and to sing. And also, as I think you were pointing out, you make a decision that you're doing this for an audience, for an experience, and for self-expression, as opposed, you know, it's the process of doing all these things, right? As opposed to having your eyes on Spotify spin counts and that kind of stuff.
I've definitely told people this is more like performance art than music, because I'm not really self-promoting too much as a musician. It's like I just want the songs to be heard. So
personally, I think that's a great way to do it. But I may be in the minority. But I think if you have a good process and good fundamentals and you do these things, success comes to you as a byproduct of that. And how you define success could simply be the fact that these songs are being heard by people.
Right.
If you're just joining us now, I hope you're enjoying Alexis Marie Thompson. She comes to us from near Punxsutawney to Canada to Nashville, East Nashville, but is now in Pittsburgh. I just always like the backstory. When did you pick up the guitar for the first time?
I think I was 12 or 13.
Or an instrument.
I mean, I was singing since I could talk, but instrument.
Do you have family members who also sang? Like, did you sing in church or?
I have an uncle who plays guitar and sings, and I used to love to go to church because everyone sang.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, the best thing. I would go twice a day. Like, it was my favorite thing. And then my mom's family also, they don't perform or anything, but they always sing, like, real old folk songs, like Froggy Went A-Courtin', and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, it shows. Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have three sisters and a brother. There's five of us.
Do you all sing together sometimes?
Nope.
No.
I can't get them to do it.
I'm kind of the one in my family. I have two brothers. They are both fine musicians, and I could sort of play, but not much. And I think they'd like me to do that sometimes.
Right.
My brother-in-law's siblings, they sing not professionally, but they're able to do sort of church gospel songs in harmony.
Yeah.
And the sibling harmony is just an amazing thing.
I know. Yeah.
We have time for one or two more. I don't want to push you beyond your limits, although I'll bet they're whatever you'd like
to do. I would like to do two more, since we were talking about, like, I have one song that I wrote about my parents, and then I have one that I planned on ending with If I can squeeze both of them in, that would be great.
There's plenty of time. Okay. I'm so happy to have you here. It's Alexis Marie Thompson here with us. Look for her. We've linked to her Facebook page, and it will take you to her Bandcamp page. I think there's a website, but the Facebook and Bandcamp are probably...
They're all linked.
Yeah, they're all there. Just look for Alexis Marie Thompson, Thompson with a P.
Yeah. All right, this song's called The Weakness.
Sometimes I'm like my mother, and my mother is a tough guy.
What a picture that song paints. Have your folks heard that?
Well, now they have. I don't know if I played it for them before, but they're listening. So.
It's a good song. It's a great song and really vivid. Alexis Marie Thompson here with us. And you can actually hear her, and our set would be a lot of fun. And then Heather Kropf after her would be great. That's this coming Tuesday, December 10th. At a place called the Speakeasy, which is above NOLA in Market Square. That should be a fun show. I can't thank you enough for sharing these songs with us, and also for making the choice to return to music on your own terms. I mentioned before, I think it's courageous when you're singing songs that I think are pretty much ripped straight from journals and not adulterated too much. Mm-hmm. And that makes for some really, really good songs. I don't like to do this, but when I listen to you, I think of some. When I say do this, draw comparisons.
Oh,
but
that's fine.
Some of the songs of Iris DeMent,
yes.
If you know Iris,
yes.
And just the depth of her songs, and in terms of not so much tone of voice necessarily, but style, and you mentioned Appalachian traditions before, mm-hmm. but Hazel Dickens.
Yeah, oh, I love Hazel Dickens.
Yeah, I figured you
She's
you
one
bite.
Of my idols, yeah.
And I was thinking, there's some questions that I think audience members listening now, sort of eavesdropping on our conversation, might not want to hear. And I'm thinking, oh, I'll ask that later, but that's what I wanted to ask now. I'm going to ask you another one in that regard. Do you know the music of Phil Oakes at all?
Know the name. I haven't listened.
Yeah, you and people, a lot of listeners know I'm kind of a nut about Phil Oakes. He was a contemporary of Bob Dylan. Mm. He unfortunately died by suicide in 1976. A lot of people, including Dylan, considered him to be a singing journalist.
Awesome. So I need to listen to him.
Yeah, I think I'm always very reluctant to suggest artists to people. It's almost like you're giving, it's not, don't take it as an assignment.
No. Well, I will, but it's a good assignment.
But his most of his songs have really stood the test of time, too. And I guess I mention this to you because it might be inspirational to know that you can write about current conditions in your life or in the world and still have songs that are really enduring, such as his. How it's just been wonderful to have you here. This is our last little chance to talk. Is there anything else we should mention, or we'll steer people to the concert? I hope they'll go to your Bandcamp site or write you to actually order a physical EP recorded on guitar and other stringed instruments and green bean cans.
Kazoo.
Yeah, kazoo. Excellent.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh,
to
it's
play
a pleasure.
This is awesome.
I hope we can have you come back. I'm glad you picked Pittsburgh. So, what do you want to close up with?
This is a song I wrote called Old Glory. Again, grew up listening to country music. I love the sound of it, but don't always agree with the content, and especially newer country music. And I associate country music with rural people, rural folk, and that's me. And I kind of feel like I'm representing people who grew up in rural areas with my songs. We're not all like what you hear on country radio. I don't know why I was capable there, sorry.
Out for a walk round the block, and I saw a sign in your front lawn shaming any soul who doesn't stand for an anthem, when behind your grill was a post with a tattered cloth worn and wilted. There were holes in the stars and the colors were gone for fading. But all you ever do is criticize, say country is one of two sides. You seem awfully proud of being hard, while Old Glory falls apart in your backyard. Out for a ride where my friends reside, and I saw a flowery cross for a boy who was scared and shot in the back while running. And his mama lives with his memory, and she's keeping that alive But it seems for you, that boy, he had it coming. 'Cause all you ever do is criticize. You say this country is one of two sides. Down by the